The first text I'd like to share with you today is from the book of Psalms, Psalm 107 and verses 23 through 30. Let us together hear God's word. Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they have seen the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he spoke and raised up a stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They rose up to the heavens. They went down to the depths. Their soul melted away in their misery. They reeled and staggered like a drunken man, and they were at their wits' end. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distresses. He caused the storm to be still, so that the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad, because they were quiet. So he guided them to their desired haven. Our second reading is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, and verses 35 through 41. Let us again hear the word of the Lord. And on that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go over to the other side." And leaving the multitude, they took him along with them, just as he was in the boat. And other boats were with him. And there arose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat, so much so that the boat was already filling up. And he himself was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And being aroused, he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Hush, be still." And the wind died down, and it became perfectly calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so timid? How is it that you have no faith?" And they became very much afraid and said to one another, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Here ends the reading of God's holy word. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. If you've ever been out on a large body of water in a smaller boat, you know how insecure it can feel when your boat starts to rock or almost tip over. One day during a trip to Alaska, my wife and I found ourselves far away from the shore in a small kayak. Suddenly, this 15-foot long whale tail came up out of the water and went down through the waters right next to us. That tail belonged to probably a 50-foot long humpback mother whale because her baby was playing over by the shore. Now, I couldn't help but wonder what might happen if she just got too close to us and accidentally tipped over our kayak. I also wondered if she might be upset because her baby was right in front of our way that we were paddling, and she might tip us over on purpose, perhaps, to defend her baby. And we would have been upside down in these cold Alaskan waters, probably too far away from the shore in the cold waters to swim back and make it. We seemed to be at the mercy of these sudden circumstances that arose that were totally beyond our control. So imagine with me the predicament of the disciples of Jesus out in this small fishing boat on a very large lake, the Sea of Galilee, they called it. It is evening, and the water is dark. And the sky is black with clouds. The moon and the stars have disappeared behind the heavy clouds filled with rain. And suddenly a cool breeze blows ominously across the bow of our boat. And in just a matter of a few minutes, the clouds burst and a deluge of rain begins. And the winds blow harder and harder as you hear the sound of the waves start slapping up against the side of your boat. You're in the mercy of dire circumstances that are so far beyond your control. There's nothing you can do about it. Immediately, you begin to think about how far out you are from shore. And you realize that the land is too far away to swim back for. And as you are nervously thinking about what to do next, a lightning bolt suddenly flashes across the skies and freeze frames the motion of a large wave that just deposited much water at the bottom of the boat as the crest falls over the rail, and you have water on you and in your feet. Just moments later, another group of waves perhaps break over the side of the boat, and now there's water up to your ankles. Then as the boat drops slightly lower in the lake as it fills with water, the wind gets even stronger. And waves continue filling the boat, and an awful terror grips your heart. Panicked, drenched, and cold, you decide to look behind you at the back of the boat, and you notice a man sleeping with his head on a cushion. And your mind races in disbelief. How can he keep sleeping when we're all about to drown? Doesn't he care what's happening to us? This is the story of Jesus in the midst of the wind and the waves. Circumstances beyond our control. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, may we hear this message and may it cause us to have more faith and trust in you. May we trust in your word that never fails. And Lord, may you rescue all of us according to your mercy and your grace through Jesus Christ, who hushes the storm, stills the wind. Amen. Now, it's pretty easy at times to feel like there are storms in our lives, like a raging storm, perhaps at times, like dark, menacing clouds moving towards us. We may discover that we have perhaps some debilitating disease, or we require surgery, or our family is breaking up, or we must go through the ignominy of bankruptcy, or losing our home, or some terrible injustice buffets us, like powerful waves hitting us from all sides. And when these things happen to us, we naturally focus on those problems and we tend to grow fearful, maybe immediately fearful. But we can't help but wonder, will it all crash down on top of us? Will we drown in the midst of this storm? Methodically, we may also ponder why God would allow such things to happen to us if he cared for us at all. And some folks jump to the conclusion, God must not care. How could he allow people to be in these circumstances, to perish like they do? Is God asleep? The cover of the April 8th, 1966 edition of Time magazine posed the question, quote, "Is God dead?" Some people do not believe that they have ever experienced the divine saving act of God. I believe that they have, they just don't realize it. We've probably been saved over and over again in this life, not just our salvation for heaven, but in this life, and they don't realize it. They've missed the accident. They've missed what could have caused our bodies to go into cancer or some other problem with us we could have experienced, but God saved us from it. Some people have never even heard this story of Jesus and the wind and the waves. And even some of us have forgotten it, or we've dismissed it as something that could not help us in any way in this modern day. Oh, it's true that a very tired Jesus physically was asleep in the back of the boat for a little while. But he did not sleep through the entire storm, nor did he forget about those whom he loves. He did not forget about those who were afraid and suffering. Rather, he was aroused from his sleep by their very predicament that they were going through. He heard their cries, and he saw their doubt, and he saw the fear in their eyes. Hudson Taylor, the founder of the China Inland Mission, also known as the Overseas Missionary Fellowship, was talking to a young missionary who was about to start work in China. "Look at this," Taylor said, and then proceeded to pound his fist on the table. There were teacups there, and they started jumping, and the tea was spilled out. And while the startled young man was wondering what was going on, Taylor said, "When you begin your work, you will be buffeted in numerous ways. The trials will be like blows, but remember, these blows will bring out only what is in you. When someone starts work in Christ's service or makes a decision to follow Jesus, he or she will be buffeted because our Lord was buffeted. And like his followers, everyone who serves Christ will face difficult trials because Christ faced difficult trials. Ministry in the name of Jesus has never been easy. The pastoral ministry has not been easy for me or for my family for even 1 week in these 36 plus years. So I've learned that serving the Lord and undergoing the storms of life only brings out what is really still within me. Trials are what help me depend solely upon God. They are what keep me clinging to Him. And when I'm shaken, I see what I'm really made of, unfortunately, at times, but I also may see the progress of what Christ has done in my life. Up to the moment that those waves and wind hit me, I may have a false impression of how far I've come. Sometimes I'm surprised to discover that I haven't matured in Christ as much as I thought I had. Maybe you felt the same way. The disciples of Jesus were hit by strong waves and wind that was beginning to sink their boat. A little first century fishing boat. When you see the picture of this boat that was discovered in the Sea of Galilee in 1986, which had sailed at the same time as Jesus walked this earth, you realize how small these little boats were. A first century fishing boat on the Sea of Galilee was easily sinkable. That boat was only large enough to hold some of the disciples and a small catch of fish. So besides the panic that any of us might have felt riding inside that small boat during a storm, and that would be some kind of ride, they quickly darted their attention to the only one who seemed unconcerned, the Lord, at the back of the boat, sleeping. And they asked him, "Don't you care that we're all going to die?" When we are tried and life looks hopeless, by all measures, it looks hopeless. The storm is way too strong and the waves are way too high for us. We may automatically give up or even assume, "I'm going to die. The end is near. I'm soon going to be overtaken by all of these things." Doesn't God even care about me? Doesn't He even care what's happening to me? I've prayed and prayed. I've cried out to God, but God doesn't even seem to be listening to me. He may be asleep or busy, or maybe He's just not there at all. Maybe God has abandoned me. And so we see that what spilled out of those disciples was only that which was still in them. Disbelief. Disbelief in the love and the concern of God. Disbelief in His power and authority. That's why Jesus asked them, "How is it that you have no faith?" And so in the same way, storms can help us discover who we really are. And whatever we may hide from God and from other people in our doubts and fears, the wind and the waves of life will eventually reveal them. Maybe this is also why, from our perspective, God seems to wait so long, even asleep at the back of the boat. The reason must be partially so that we will discover what is within us and how far we've actually matured as Christ's followers. But if we are filled with God's word and we do trust in His plans, we're going to spill faith in His word so that others will see it and be encouraged by our faith. And thus, our storm can actually serve God's glory. It's good to attend church worship and Sunday school and sit and soak up the truth of God's word like a sponge. But we must accept the fact that sponges always work best when they are squeezed. Now, after Jesus was awakened, the wind and the sea were all at his every command. Aroused, he shouted out into the dark and stormy night, "Silence! Be still!" And the wind died down, and a great calm occurred on the waters of the sea. The disciples were amazed. Peter, who had been out on this lake almost every day as a fisherman, had never seen anything like this before. And they wanted to know, who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Peter, who spoke through Mark in this Gospel of Mark, the evangelist, wants us to know that the answer to the question is, Jesus is God. He must be. Only God can control the trials and problems of life. Only God can change the course of nature and natural law. Only God can suspend time in the course of events in history. Only God can mitigate our circumstances. Only God can control the wind and the waves. Francis Schaeffer, the great Christian theologian, philosopher, and Presbyterian pastor, once said, "What one must realize is that seeing the world as a Christian does not mean just saying, 'I am a Christian. I believe in the supernatural world.' It's possible to be saved through faith in Christ and then spend much of our lives in the materialistic chair. We say we believe in a supernatural world, but we live as though there were no supernatural in the universe at all. It is not enough merely to say, 'I believe in a supernatural world.' Christianity is not just a mental assent about certain doctrines and miracles. This is only the beginning. That would be rather like a starving man sitting in front of great heaps of food and saying, 'I believe the food exists and I believe it's real,' and yet never eating any of it, never experiencing any of it. It has never been enough to say about Jesus, 'I'm a Christian,' and then in practice to live as if the present contact with the world is just materialistic and there is no divine supernatural being, no one to help us, just the materialistic world. How relieved the disciples must have been to have God with them in the boat. With Christ in their vessel, they could smile at the storm. They saw no matter how mightily the storm rages, it still obeys his commands. You see, no matter how big of storms, how ferocious they are in our lives, how devastating they might be for us, no matter how damaging the wind or how fierce the waves, they are still subject to the command of God. And Christ will command care and protection over you and me if we trust him. But even in the storm, even if it takes a long time, and it rages and rages, the buffeting from the storm can serve us well if we cling to him. A vine also clings to an oak tree, and in so doing finds protection in times of trial that preserves it. If a violent storm should arise and the vine is on the side of the tree away from the wind, then the tree serves to protect the vine from the wind, which would otherwise just tear it away and rip it to shreds. But if the vine is on the exposed side of the tree, the wind only serves to press the vine closer to the tree it already clings to. And so in the storms of our lives, God will at times set himself between us and the fury of the storm and so protect us from it. But at other times, he allows us to be exposed to the storm so that its ravages may serve to press us closer and closer to him. And either way, we'll be pressed closer to God. Oswald Chambers once said, "It's not true that God always wants to teach us something in our trials. In every cloud he brings, God wants us to unlearn something as well. God's purpose in the cloud is to simplify our belief until our relationship to him is exactly that of a child. God uses every cloud which comes in our physical life, in our moral and spiritual life, or in our circumstances we cannot control to bring us nearer to him. Until we come to the place where our Lord Jesus Christ actually lived, and we do not allow our hearts to be troubled. In 1895, Andrew Murray was in England, suffering from a terrible back pain. It was the result of an injury he had incurred years before. Well, one morning while he was eating breakfast in his room, his hostess told him of a woman downstairs who was in great trouble and wanted to know if he had any advice for her. Andrew Murray handed her a piece of paper that he had been writing on and said, "Please give her this advice. I'm writing it down for myself. It may be that she'll find it helpful." And this was what was written. "In time of trouble, say, 'First, he brought me here. It is by his will that I am in this strait place. In that, I will rest. Next, he will keep me here in his love and give me grace in this trial to behave as his child. Then say, he will make the trial a blessing, teaching me some lessons he intends me to learn and working in me the grace he means to bestow. And lastly, say, in his good time, he can bring me out again, how and when, only he knows. Therefore, say, 1, I am here by God's appointment. 2, I am here in his keeping. 3, I am here under his training. And 4, I am here for his time. Oh, my friends, God is not dead. He's not even asleep. And all the benefits of being Christian are more than mere emotional or psychological. The Lord does much more for us than that. Jesus did much more for his disciples during that storm. When they cried out to him, like a deep prayer in the night, he was aroused, and he commanded the storm, and he commanded the waves, "Enough. Silence. Be still." So call to the Lord, and he will stand up with you and stand up with us in our boats and command even those things of nature of which we did not know or had any real control over. And we shall be rescued in the end. We shall be saved. Even the wind and the waves obey him. So why is it that we are so timid? And how is it that we have no faith? Aren't we able to see all the things that assail us from every side almost every day and still be able to say, with great faith and confidence, "With Christ in my vessel, I will smile at the storm"? Please join with me as we say this together as a reminder of our gracious and loving help of our Lord and Savior. "With Christ in my vessel, I will smile at the storm." Let us say that together. "With Christ in my vessel, I will smile at the storm." To God be all the praise and glory. Amen. Please pray with me. Gracious Lord, we're thankful that you are with us in our vessels, even our souls. Lord, thank you for rescuing us, for saving us. And Lord, we depend upon your salvation for our very lives, each and every day. And we know that only you have the power over this world and over all things. And so, Lord, we cry out to you. Answer our prayers. In Jesus we pray. Amen.